Agenda Paper 7. The IFRS Interpretations Committee received a request for guidance in respect of two related issues pertaining to hedge accounting when an entity transitioned to IFRS 9 financial instruments. For the first issue, the Interpretations Committee was asked to consider whether an entity can treat a hedging relationship as a continuing hedging relationship on transition from IAS 39 to IFRS 9 if that entity changes the hedged item from an entire non-financial item to a component of the non-financial item. For the second issue, the Interpretations Committee was asked to consider whether an entity can continue with its original hedge designation of the entire non-financial item on transition to IFRS 9. So, in terms of outreach undertaken, the staff asked securities regulators, accounting standard setters, and large accounting firms for their views on this issue. The questions asked and the feedback received is summarized in paragraphs 10 to 22 of the staff paper. In terms of the responses received, national standard setters expressed mixed views for question 1 and question 2, and for question 3, stated that diversity in practice could develop. For question 1, the majority of the large accounting firms commented that an entity could not consider these hedging relationships as continuing hedging relationships, while some expressed mixed views on this issue. For question 2, the majority of the large accounting firms stated that an entity can continue with its original hedge designation of the entire non-financial item under IFRS 9, on the basis that IFRS 9 permitted hedge designations that were not an exact reflection of actual risk management. For question 3, the majority of large accounting firms stated that it is possible that diversity in practice may develop. For question 1, securities regulators were of the view that hedging relationships can be treated as a continuing hedging relationship on transition to IFRS 9. Securities regulators did not provide any explicit comments regarding question 2, and for question 3, noted that it was possible for diversity in practice to develop. So in terms of the staff analysis of the issues in submission, just to reiterate, for issue 1, asked whether an entity can change the designation of the hedged item in a hedging relationship from an entire non-financial item as permitted by IAS 39 to a component of the non-financial item as permitted by IFRS 9 on transition to IFRS 9 and still be considered as a continuing hedging relationship. For this issue, the staff note that to treat this hedging relationship as a continuing hedging relationship implies that the change in designation occurred at the inception of the hedge instead of on the date of transition. This is tantamount to retrospective designation of a hedging relationship, which is not permitted under IAS 39. Furthermore, the staff note paragraph 7.2.22 of IFRS 9, which outlines that the IFRS 9 hedge accounting requirements are applied prospectively, except in limited circumstances that are not applicable to the fact pattern outlined in the submission. So based on this analysis, the staff note that hedging relationships under IAS 39 should be discontinued on transition to IFRS 9 in instances when an entity has changed the risk designation on transition, as in the case described in Issue 1. Moving on to Issue 2. Issue 2 asks whether an entity can continue with its original hedge designation of an entire non-financial item on transition to IFRS 9. So for this issue, the staff note that the key matter to be addressed is whether a designation that is different from an entity's risk management objective would meet the qualifying criteria in IFRS 9 for hedge accounting, assuming that all other qualifying criteria in IFRS 9 has been met. So IFRS 9 refers to these situations as proxy hedging and states that proxy hedging is a colloquial reference to the use of designations of hedging relationships that do not exactly represent an entity's actual risk management. So in this regard, the staff noted paragraph BC 6.97 of IFRS 9, which acknowledges that proxy hedging is possible for hedging relationships. Furthermore, the staff note paragraph BC 6.100 of IFRS 9, which outlines the challenges in achieving an exact reflection of an entity's risk management objective, and notes that it is not always possible to reflect risk management exactly under IFRS 9. However, even though hedge accounting designations that do not exactly reflect risk management is permissible in certain instances, the staff notes that there should still be some type of linkage to risk management. And to support this, the staff note BC 6.98 of IFRS 9, which allows for designations for hedge accounting purposes that are not exact replicas of actual risk management, as long as the designation relates firstly to the same type of risk that is being managed and the same type of instruments that are being used for that purpose. So based on this analysis, the staff of the view that an entity can continue with the original hedge designation of an entire non-financial item on transition to IFRS 9, assuming that the designation reflects risk management and all other qualifying criteria for hedge accounting under IFRS 9 has been met. The staff believe that the Interpretations Committee should not take the issues discussed onto its agenda on the basis that the wording under IFRS 9 provides a sufficient basis for determining the appropriate accounting treatment. We would like to ask the Interpretations Committee whether they agree with the analysis and conclusions reached, and if the Interpretations Committee agrees with the staff recommendation, does it agree with the proposed wording of the tentative agenda decision as set out in Appendix A of the staff paper? Before I hand the discussion over to the committee, is there anything you'd like to add, Kumar?
What we are saying is, let's reverse this thing. You have an existing relationship and under IS 39, you're moving on to IFRS 9. Yes, of course you can continue those if they are not an exact replica because of the guidance on proxy hedging and 1:1 mapping. The question comes up, so that's the first view which we're giving. The second, you have done a designation under IS 39. You want to now change that designation when you move to IFRS 9 because it allows components. Of course, you can change that designation, but it cannot be seen as a continuing hedge relationship because that implies retrospectively starting the hedge. So that is the question. So the question is not, do you have to discontinue? No. You can continue your existing relationship, assuming the conditions are met. And without going into the specifics of what exactly, because that's very specific on hedging, we expect that to be there. But if you change the risk designation, then yes, again, you can have hedge accounting, but it's a new relationship, so and you will have to pick up the consequences that arise from that.
Sue?
I agree with everything that the staff have just said, but I just wanted to add one thing. I think in this case we're in a somewhat luxurious position relative to the case we're often in, because this very specific issue was addressed in a board paper and specifically included in decisions made by the board. In September 2011, they specifically decided that on transition to the new hedge accounting model, you would only have prospective application of new designations, and it was included as a specific example that that meant that you couldn't have retrospective application of a new risk component designation. So we have a sort of clear understanding of what was intended by the board.
Can I also address another comment that we have received? It's an issue does not relate to this directly. It's the question of rebalancing that comes up. Now, yes, of course you can rebalance once you have got into IFRS 9, but you must first prove that it is a continuing relationship before you can get into rebalancing. Now, the other point I would like to say with rebalancing, yes, go ahead, rebalance and that's what. But rebalancing only applies to quantities. It does not apply to risk designation. And that's made very clear in BC 6.313. So you can change the quantities of the hedged item and the hedging instrument, but you cannot start changing the components of the hedge risk. So because that's basically implying a complete retrospective designation of the hedge.
Bruce?
Yeah, I was just going to say I agree to the paper. I think it's, having been through it, I think this is exactly where the standard leads us to it, and I support it.
Bob?
Yeah, I also agree with the staff analysis and support the agenda decision. For me, issue one was, I thought my mind was clear. I am changing the designation. I'm changing the risk. I'm changing the hedge relationship, and so I thought that had to be a de-designation and redesignation. Issue two is one I kind of struggled with before I came here. And with the staff analysis, because I can see both sides of it, but I've kind of felt that causing redesignation is a bit punitive, so I'm very happy with the agenda decision.
I know where you're coming from.
John?
Yeah, I agree with the staff analysis. I do think people will imply from issue two that anything which was okay, and an effective hedge under 39 is, quote, okay, actual, close enough to actual risk management activities to be continued under IFRS 9. So I don't know if that's, because I think the implication of issue two is, well, you know, we think it's close enough to your risk management, even though it's not your actual risk management. So I think there's sort of an interpretation in there of how close is good enough, which seems to imply that if it was okay under 39 and, you know, you were within the boundaries, then you're actually going to be okay. So if you don't intend that to be implied from this narrow fact pattern, maybe we need to discuss it a bit more.
Fair enough. What we are saying, what we need to emphasize, and I think with the comments we also got that, is to emphasize that you still need to meet whatever the things are there, IFRS 9 is to, with that things. We'll play with the words with that.
Right, okay. Just on the wording of the agenda decision, the paragraph just after B, it says the Interpretations Committee noted that in relation to Issue 1, a change in the hedged item on transition to IFRS 9 is equivalent to the retrospective application of the hedge accounting requirements. I mean, I think you're allowed to change the hedged item, you're just not allowed to have it as a continuation of the hedge. So I think that wording needs to be...
I picked that up when I was reading.
Tony?
I think, similar to the others, I think that, to me, is the way the standard works. I can understand why people are uncomfortable with it, because they can hedge components that ought to reduce the amount of ineffectiveness, and what we're saying to them is either you de-designate and redesignate, and that probably gives you ineffectiveness because the derivative has a fair value at that point, or you continue with what you were doing and the ineffectiveness you've already got because of the way it's been working. So I can understand why people are troubled by it, but I do think the standard, that's where the standard leads you to. I did actually share John's concern. I just thought it seemed to read very broadly in terms of, yes, you can continue with it, almost a blanket, go ahead with it. And so I would share John's concerns that you might tinker with the words.
Absolutely.
Okay, Reinhard?
I certainly understand the staff's analysis for issue one and understand the conclusion that was reached. I'm more concerned about issue two, just picking up on the comments that John and Tony made, because I think we have to be very careful that we ring fence this notion of proxy hedging, because the way I read IFRS 9, proxy hedging is only permitted if you're precluded from hedging a risk component. We're not actually precluded from that, and so I think we need to be very careful to explain why this would be continued to be permitted under IFRS 9.
I agree, Reinhard. When I read the examples and the basis, that's the examples that are given, because that's in the context of what we were doing in IFRS 9. But the reason why I would say I don't think that was the intention or what IFRS 9 wants to do, because think of it then, to do any kind of proxy designation, first an entity has to go through the exhaustive process of understanding what is every possible perfect designation that can be done under IFRS 9. I think that's quite an onerous requirement to impose, and I don't think that's what the intention. But I do accept your concern and the others with John and Tony has pointed out, we will tighten the wordings around that.
Yeah, I mean, what I was focusing on, Kumar, was paragraph B6.98, where it says it has to be the same type of risk.
Yes.
The risk on the risk of the non-financial item in totality is not exactly the same as the component.
Yes, it is. I think the wording,
the designation reflects risk management that it relates to the same type of risk and the instruments that are used. The instruments are the same, or would likely be the same. It's more the wording on same type of risk and how to apply that in the circumstance. So again, I don't disagree. I think to be careful how we explain the rationale.
We'll have to put it in. The reason why I don't want to get into, in the commodity context, what the hedges, which I have worked on quite a bit, is that, let's say you're hedging commodity price. The type of risk that you're, where the problem comes in when you're hedging the price, it has a lot of, not a lot, sometimes you'll get what is called a negative basis or a country basis being included in, let's say, aluminium price. Now, when you're hedging a component, you can just exclude that and get a perfect hedge. But you are using the same type of instrument, which is an LME derivative, for the same type of risk that you're doing. So I think it is, we will meet the requirements, but we will see how we can play around with the words, with the, what is the same. It's not exactly the same risk. It talks about the same type of risk.
Andrew's been waiting a while, and then we'll get Sue in.
I agree with the analysis. I think when we responded to the original outreach request, we suggested that the staff should at least consider adding some additional transitional relief to enable, given that the ability to hedge a component of a non-financial item is one of the big selling points of the IFRS 9 hedging model. But you know, on reflection, if they can continue with the IAS 39 designation, which I think they can in all circumstances that I can realistically envisage, then they're worse off on IFRS 9 at least, and it would add complexity to add a further transitional provision. So comfortable where the staff has got to.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it, but when I look back on the voting that Sue referred to, it was unanimous, 15-0. I don't see much hope of going back and saying proposing.
Get older and wiser.
You're talking about me, right?
Sue?
I was just going to say that the discussion about the proxy hedging, I think, is helpful. And if we can find something that we can put in there to give some more clarity on that, I think it would be useful for people, because I hadn't understood that people were reading more into the basis than what we intended, because we've got an example of a proxy hedge where you would have been ineligible to designate a risk component, that might imply to some that would be the only circumstance when it would apply. So I think if we can find something that we're comfortable isn't too specific that we can put in there to give a confirmation of the objective of what we've set in place, I think that will help people come up with a better ability to apply the hedge accounting model than they might otherwise get to.
If I put in there what's there into the agenda decision?
You can, yes.
Yeah. I think we'll
to describe better what we mean in response to that second question.
Objective without getting into too much, we'll try and fair play with the words.
Martin?
I absolutely agree with Sue and Reinhardt, because I was a little bit lost with the second issue due to the fact that I personally came to probably a slight different conclusion, as in former times I had to hedge the full risk, and now I'm allowed to hedge a component, and specifically that does not necessarily lead then to the same conclusion. And therefore, as Reinhard also said, we have to add some additional guidance, clarifications, and make the fact pattern as precise as possible to get to that solution.
We'll work on that, Martin. I appreciate that. Certainly, we need to tighten it up.
Okay, subject to belt tightening. Any objections?
Unanimous.
Okay. This, we have two of your three that you're going to revise the decision somewhat. May I ask that you, if possible, circulate it early?
Yes. We have early will be tomorrow, Wayne, because today is my board posting day.
Oh, no, no. Early would be maybe even day after tomorrow.
Oh, you're a star. That's why I love you.
As long as it's before 8.
Yeah. Done. I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Thank you. That's us.
Anything else for the good of the order? We did not recruit people as our lead reviewers of update yesterday.
We don't do that.
We
now.
Don't. We quit, no. Officially quit doing that.
Everybody gets the opportunity to review.
Well, they always did. But
they do. Yes.
Okay. Nothing appearing. We will proceed to close. Thank you very much, gang.
Thank
See
you
all in November.